Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "He, that is Jesus Christ, is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Back in the 1780s, there was a scientist in France by the name of Antoine Laurent de Lavoisier. Want to hear you say that? No. He was a chemist and a biologist, and a tremendously gifted intellectual. Some consider him to be the father of modern chemistry, and others call him also the father of modern nutrition. I'm just going to read a little list of things that he accomplished in his lifetime. He was the one that understood how oxygen functioned and was the one that came up with the name oxygen as well as hydrogen. He was one of the first to analyze the chemical reactions and capture them in glass. He was one of the influential men in constructing the metric system. He was the first one to begin listing off the elements, that great chart that I couldn't memorize in high school. He also did some of the early work in the study of meteorology. That's interesting, the study of weather. He had a law degree, but he never practiced law. He was the first to discover the concept of your body's metabolism, how it breaks down foods. And he conducted new extensive research on the topic of combustion that would later produce engines. Think of all of that in his lifetime. But he was arrested and brought to trial because of his connection to the royal family. He was a voice they wanted to silence. And at his trial, the judge said this: "The Republic does not need scientists or chemists." Dr. Wohler is shivering. The Republic does not need scientists or chemists. And so he was brought to the guillotine at the young age of 50, at the peak of his career, and he was executed by beheading. And after his execution, one of his contemporary scientists said about him, "It took only seconds to cut off his head, and 100 years might not be enough to reproduce a brain like his." It's really sad to think that somebody who could bring so much good to humanity could just be taken out of this life so quickly due to such ignorance. The one voice that the world wants to really silence is the voice of the Christian church that proclaims the name of Jesus Christ. The one and only individual who can get us out of our graves to heaven. And yet, due to the ignorance of unbelief in this world, this is the one voice of the church that must be silenced from the world's perspective. St. Peter stands in front of the Jewish leaders of his day, kind of the Supreme Court, if you will, or a court of judges in the Jewish Sanhedrin that day, the Jewish officials. And Peter, who's been preaching about Christ, the Son of God who came into this world for our salvation, Peter now is a voice that must be silenced from their perspective. Now, what Peter says does sound awfully arrogant. Listen to what he says. There is salvation in no one else. There is getting to heaven in nobody but this Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, all other religions of the world begin with the premise that man inherently has some good in him. Man has something in him, a quality in him, a capability in him that can somehow produce something that God will be happy enough with to welcome him into heaven. Every other world religion, if you break it down and look at it closely, begins with a false assessment of man's capabilities, thinking that somehow there's something in us that has value before God, that if we do something the right way or say things the right way, God should be happy with us to let us into heaven. Biblical Christianity begins with the opposite premise, and that is that man has absolutely nothing to offer God. There is nothing in us that has any any value or quality that is so good that God would say, you know, you've tried your best, come on into heaven. God is the one who assesses us properly and says, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who seeks after God. And so the only way for getting to heaven, salvation, to arrive to us, the only way for that to get to us is if God himself is the doer entirely. God himself has to be the one that takes on the role of saving us from beginning to end. Not only through the sending of his Son to have him sacrificed on the cross to atone for all of our sins and to live out a perfect record in our place, but even the very faith in our hearts that grabs onto him and says, I trust in him and I believe in him, even that had to come from God's doing. Salvation, getting to heaven, is found in no one else. There's no other name, not Don Molsted, not your name, not anybody's name. Salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And this is the truth. Now, that doesn't make the world any more accommodating to Christ and the name of Christ and the voice that proclaims his name in this world. John writes about Jesus himself when he came into this world. The true light, Christ, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world, but the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. So today I'd like us also to think about the voice of the church that proclaims the name of Christ. Imagine for a moment that there was a doctor that came up for the real, true, honest cure of cancer, and he knew he had it. He knew he finally had discovered what this would be. And he knew at the same time that proposing this and putting it out there against all of the other theories that were present in the world at the time, that putting this out there might cause people to kind of lash back at him and to think that he was being so arrogant. He might be tempted to be silenced to talk about this cure because of the fear of the backlash. But if that were the case, that he was to be silenced, whom would he ever help? How would it ever help the world for him to stay silent? As believers in Christ, we are the one voice in this world that professes the name of Christ, that speaks the only way to get out of your grave to humanity. We are the only place in the world that people can hear about and find out about and discover through the work of the Holy Spirit Christ and the name of Christ that will cause people to ultimately rise from their graves. How will it ever benefit anybody in the world for us to be silent? It needs to be proclaimed that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. Now, the world certainly doesn't want to hear this, and it's going to try to suppress this voice and to suppress the name of Christ going out into the world. Peter and John were told at this trial, we don't want you speaking or preaching this name of Jesus anymore to anyone. And later in this chapter, during their trial, they said, we cannot help but speak of what we have seen and heard. You can try to suppress the voice of the church all you want, but believers in Christ just can't help talking about it because it's so fantastic and what it's done for us. Now, in our day and age, we are under great pressure to have the name of Christ suppressed from our lips, to have the proclamation of all aspects of his word smothered in our culture today. Many young people today are facing hatred every week, even in the summer now. I'm getting students contacting me about how Christianity is being defamed among them and how they are being ridiculed for wanting to hold on to the Word of God. These are challenging times. It's gotten worse since I was that age. St. Peter, in a matter of months, if you think about his life, goes from somebody who's so afraid to acknowledge that he's connected to the name of Jesus, sitting around a campfire with a bunch of people because he's afraid of being psychologically persecuted by them, and running away and hiding during the actual crucifixion of Christ, to now being imprisoned for that very name, and now boldly proclaiming it in a city that hates this Christ, and now standing in front of the very authorities that just weeks earlier had crucified Christ, and he's now standing here boldly knowing that his life is on the line, and he says, "You just can't shut me up. I'm not going to stop." And ultimately, it did take his life by his own crucifixion. So what had changed? What caused this change in Peter? An empty grave, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Having seen that, having witnessed the risen Lord, he now thinks to himself, "What can people do to me? What could anybody do to me to take that away from me that would make losing that worthwhile?" Peter is the one who said to Jesus at one time, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." There are times today when we as believers in this saving Christ tremble and we feel afraid because of our faith. And yet when we look at the empty grave of our Lord through his word and we realize what our connection to him by faith actually means and what his resurrection does for us, we can also say, "What can people ever do to us? Nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen.